every Chinese child was supposed to get some lucky money from their relatives as gifts during the Chinese New Year. Parents often keep the money for their kids, but now we are seeing a collection of court cases involving this lucky or maybe unlucky money, as it has kind of triggered heated discussion among social media users on who owns the sometimes small fortunes. Is it the children or is it the parents? Finally, moms will be brought to justice, right, Liu Min? I'm just kidding. But honestly, guys, what's going on here?
Well, this goes way back. I mean, the tradition of Ya Sui Tian, or lucky money, goes way back to the Han Dynasty. That was more than 2,000 years ago.
Not so long ago.
Not so long ago. Yeah. And so it consists of, well, obviously, money.
Yeah.
And in Chinese, it's called Ya Sui Tian because, well, Sui sounds exactly like a name that we have for a type of demon that usually hang out around the New Year. And the Sui, the monster or the demon, is known to cause some sicknesses among young children. Mm. And for that reason, some believe that giving some money to them, to young kids, will be able to scare off these demons because, well...
I'm sure the kids don't mind.
Yeah, I'm sure they don't mind. Yeah, because dark and evil in nature, so and money, because money can go through many people's hands. Mm. So it is considered to have the quality of the air of human.
Yeah.
And also because sometimes it's buried underneath, so it has absorbed the spirit from heaven, from the earth. And then because the money has been spent with us for so long,
right,
it must have accumulated some energy from heaven. So money or coins back in ancient China was the symbol for energy of heaven, earth, and humans, and was very auspicious. That's why people gave them to young kids.
So it has very symbolic roots, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so now, though, how is it being dealt with? How is this money currently these days kind of being given to kids, or is it even being given to kids?
Well, it used to be very simple. Like during the New Year, young kids would go and greet their elderly in the family. Sometimes they do kowtow.
Cha-ching.
Yeah, they do kowtow in very reserved areas, conservative areas like Shandong. Mm-hmm. They still do that. They still do kowtow. And when young kids do kowtow to elderly people in their family or outside their family, so these elder people are obliged to give them some money.
Mm. It's tough to be an older person these days. Huh?
It is.
my two kids, my two sons, actually kowtow on the first day of the Lunar New Year.
Ooh, how much
to
did
my
they
parents?
Own?
Yeah.
2,000 each.
Wow.
Mm.
You know,
a lot of money.
Tell me if you guys agree with this, because you know, as I understand from what you're saying, in most families, probably the elder folks are giving the money to the kids, but maybe to the parents instead, right? Especially if the kids are younger, because they're just going to go out and get diabetes at a candy store, right? This is basically probably what they'll do. So actually, we have some interesting information here maybe in China, and you guys tell me if you agree.
Mm-hmm.
But a reporter from jinbaonet.com news website in Zhejiang province, they did a survey of 100 households. Now, get this. Most of the parents were born in the 1970s and 1980s. Kind of like me, but I'm not a parent. Data showed that 50% of the parents would buy insurance, financial products, or pay for education for their children. I see no problems with that. In fact, I think many parents would do the same. 20% would give the money to the kids if the kids wanted it, right? Just here you go. Mm-hmm. Go have fun. But 30%, this is interesting, but 30% said, well, I'm going to use the money for myself.
Yeah, maybe a new handbag.
Good idea.
Higher than those that would give the money to their kids. So this obviously, for some kids, you know, isn't going to fly. And I guess the High People's Court in Shandong Province, Eastern China, posted several legal cases on social media over the Lunar New Year holiday, which clearly pointed out that legally children want, or sometimes maybe legally own, their own lucky money. Liu Min, tell me about some of these cases.
Of course, there are two very important or very famous now, the cases recently. One case, a woman surnamed Shi decided to keep for herself the 45,000 yuan the 压岁钱, okay,
Mm-hmm.
she gave that to her 11-year-old grandson Tao Tao over the years, because her son and the wife, Tao Tao's parents, they divorced each other, so Tao Tao moved in with his mother. The judge required Shi to give the money back to the kid, pointed out that the money which Shi had saved in her own bank account had been deposited shortly after Spring Festival every year, and thus it must have been Tao Tao's lucky money.
So this elderly woman claims that the money saved in her bank account were actually belonging to herself, while in fact the clever judge discovered that basically essentially all the money were saved into her account during important festivals like the Spring Festival or Lunar, Mid-Autumn Day.
Yeah.
So that, and then the judge, the judge thought, well, all this money must have been given to the
Detective Ya Sui Chen, right?
Indeed. Yeah. And there is another case which is also very interesting. Recently, a university student from southwestern Yunnan province sued her divorced parents for refusing to pay for her college tuition. And this lady demanded that they return her 压岁钱, a total of 58,000 yuan instead. But after a period of mediation with the judge, their parents agreed to pay her 1,500 yuan every month to cover the tuition and living expenses.
Yeah, looking at these court cases from a Western perspective, the first one, I think Lai Ming points out that there was maybe some hidden information that was found out, and maybe this lady would have, in my opinion, it sounds like she might have would have used the money for her own means.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's necessarily okay in my book, but I also don't think just giving a 11-year-old kid a bunch of money is a good idea, all right? but, you know, this happens in the West too, guys, is like maybe for my birthday I'll get some money from a lot of different people that are part of my family, and my mom would take something like that. But my mom, I love you, Mom, would always put that in a bank account for me, even though I'd have no problem if she used it for helping the family, legitimately. She'd put it in a bank account for me, and when I went to college it helped out. Okay?
Ooh.
Really. But here's this second case you're talking about in southwestern Yunnan province. This girl played by the rules. She said, okay, take my money, and I need it when I need it for college. Please give it to me. And she had to sue her parents to get the money to help her pay for her education, unlocking the key to her future. I mean, so we see a variety of these cases.
Yes.
Yep.
And basically it seems like money... You know, money's like the One Ring. I'm a Lord of the Rings nerd, okay? But money's kind of like the One Ring. It can corrupt all bonds, right? People see it and they just change. They're like, oh, it's mine. My precious. This kind of thing happens. And, you know, we even have a famous court case that I would like to talk about, too. Have you guys heard of Macaulay Culkin?
Not sure.
Have you heard of the movie Home Alone?
I think so.
Yeah. It's a good movie because
a lot of,
it's a good movie franchise. It's a kid who stays home, burglars try to break into his house, and he just beats them bad.
Indeed.
Beats them so bad. They go home crying to their own mamas, okay?
Yeah. Mm.
So he, there's this childhood actor that became very famous from Home Alone 1 and 2. When I was a kid, he was my childhood hero.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he had amassed as a child a fortune of, God, what, $17 million, according to People.com. And his parents were his managers. Anyways, at 15 years old, he filed a lawsuit against them for emancipation and overall control of his fortune. He won, but he wasn't allowed to get control of the money till he was 18, legally an adult, all right? But we still see these kind of court cases... money involved happening in the U.S. with kids as well. But let's talk about tradition here as it pertains to China. Lai Ming told us so much about it. But Lai Ming, can you kind of talk more about the tradition and how this leads to the controversy?
Of course. Now, in the old tradition, the children who received the lucky money had the right to use it freely. But, well, that's only because the amount of money they were given was very small.
Yeah.
Back in the days, I mean, maybe old enough to buy a few candies, that's it. But however, the amount of lucky money was Well, people don't have a lot of money back then.
Damn.
And then they just give out a little money to the children for good luck. Now, as people's living standards improved, the amount of lucky money increased a lot. And I think there was a survey that just finished by some institution, I can't remember, maybe Tencent.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And according to the research, in Fujian, mm-hmm. and southeastern part of China, young kids were receiving 3,500 yuan on average.
Wow,
a lot of money.
That is a small fortune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot of money. And especially for little kids, I mean, how many firecrackers can they buy? I mean, how many
hopefully
toy guns?
Hopefully none. Yeah.
I remember back in my younger days when I had, when I was given pocket money or yasui qian, I was only allowed 10 yuan from my parents, and the rest I'll have to hand in to them.
Yeah.
And then the 10 yuan was only able to afford me a few boxes of firecrackers and maybe a toy gun. And something I've been looking forward to throughout the year.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you can get.
Yeah.
But imagine how many times, and 35 times.
That's a lot of firecrackers.
350 times.
And it did.
What's more dangerous is that the firecrackers aren't as safe as they used to. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, about how dangerous they can get, like the size of a grenade or a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
So kids can do dangerous things with that money.
Yeah, and I guess compared with the rest of the country, you had mentioned Fujian province being the top red packet kind of people that are getting this money,
most
the generous. Top amount.
Yeah.
Mm. Compared with the rest of the country, I guess the average yasui qian gift, let's say in like southern China's Guangdong province as an example for the average, because I want to paint the picture, 3,500 is a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So in southern China's Guangdong province, the lowest, I guess, was 50 yuan, right?
Yeah, that's the lowest.
So this paints the picture that this is actually quite a bit for a kid, even today. Not just when we were kids, Liming, but even today. And we have a quote here saying, "For us, the purpose of giving red packets is more for happiness and luck, a way to enhance interpersonal relationships," said Guangzhou native Zhang Ming, who gave, I guess, dozens of 50 yuan red packets during the Spring Festival.
Yeah, the reason they're giving such small amounts is just because they're giving out constantly to almost everybody they know.
Yes, and you know, but also what this person had said, it seems like the tradition is still alive for many people.
Yeah.
And so this is still something where I'm giving it less to, so you can just go blow it on candy and firecrackers or toy guns, but more to legitimately give you kind of some kind of luck, some kind of fortune in the coming year, right?
Mm. And more often than not in modern China, it's as a symbol of friendship between your parents and the friend of your parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Mm. You know, something I think is interesting, too, we have a person from Hong Kong, or not Hong Kong, from Shanghai, saying that when she was little, this is Hua Yanrong, mother of a 15-year-old son, remembered that her parents spent her yasui qian on buying her new clothes, new toys, and other things she needed. But they never allowed me to decide how I spend it, is what she said.
Yeah, that was the case.
That's all yearly the case. Okay. I also decide on...
You're a mother, and you said that this has been the case for you in the past when you were a kid. So tell me about your experience as a mother and as also being somebody that had it spent like this.
Yeah, I remember before college in my childhood, all the money my mom was keeping it for me. And later she did pay for my tuition fee when I pursued my degree overseas, which is one wonderful thing, right? And now I have two sons. And the interesting thing is my older son the other day asked me, "Mom, can I keep this 200 yuan note?" I said, "No, because I need to keep it for you." And he said, "Oh, are you going to buy yourself a lipstick instead of buying something for me?"
Gotcha.
I realized, you know, in his mind, he's growing this kind of property belonging issues, that kind of thought in there.
He's getting materialistic.
Yeah, exactly. It's a good thing, a progress. But at the same time, I told him that I am able to manage this money for you on your behalf, in your interest, which is lots of parents in China are doing, which is natural. But it doesn't mean that I will take over to use your money.
Yeah. And your son is a complete sweetheart. But... looking at, let's talk about the legal regulations, Liming, because this is actually not just something where families are fighting about it, maybe at the dinner table. Now it's going to the courtroom. So tell me about the laws regarding this kind of thing?
Well, obviously, parents have, well, can sometimes help children manage and protect the money.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Supreme Court's guideline on the implementation of China's general principles of the civil rights, Article 10, well, that's a mouthful. But anyway, it's authoritative.
Yeah.
It's one of the guardian's duties to manage and protect the property of people under guardianship. Mm-hmm. And parents should explain clearly to the kids that they keep the Yasui Qian or the red packet money, lucky money, to help children manage the money instead of just taking it. The money should be denominated and used by the children.
Yeah. And, you know, looking at Chinese contract law chapter, well, I don't have the specific chapter here, but it says gift contracts. It's Article 185.
Mm.
A gift contract is a contract under which the donor gives its own property to the donee without consideration, and the donee indicates the acceptance of the gift, okay?
Mm.
Parents or family in the matter of Yasui Sui Qian are the donors, and children would be the donees, okay?
Mm-hmm.
As long as the money is given, the donor cannot simply just take it back, okay? So it is, as I understand, legally under the child's... it's belonging to the child.
Yeah.
And what you had said is kind of maybe a loophole, saying if you're guarding this, you're guarding it for the child. You're not trying to use this and find loopholes to say, yeah, my child needed the new Ferrari. Come on. I had to drive him to school in the new Ferrari. Come on, God. No, because that's not necessarily... at all for the child, right?
Yeah. But I've read some comments online. Lots of Chinese netizens believe that it's a kind of exchange, because it's just the parents would give other family kids money, and those parents would give your kids money. It's like an exchange. So the parents feel like, you know, it's my right to keep your money, and I'm my right to use your money in the way that I want, but actually it's not direct exchange. Legally speaking, it's not. So basically, you can only play the role of a parent and use the money or keep the money smartly in the interest of your kids, but it's not your money.
Well, this is just a classic conflict between tradition and laws, obviously. I mean, according to, well, we know that this tradition goes way back 2,000 years, and that was before there were this general principle of the civil rights of China, and that's for sure, right? And back in those days, I mean, people were giving out this money without a clear idea whether this money was given to this kid or their parents. I mean, obviously, my mom, I had one aunt. My father has a brother, and therefore I have an aunt. And every year when I was a kid, my aunt will give me 40 yuan, and then my mom would give my cousin 40 yuan.
Okay,
so
it's like exchange.
essentially, it is exchange. But what makes it complicated is, according to the tradition, the money was given to me by my aunt, and money was given to my cousin by my mom. And according to law, the money obviously belonged to me and my cousin. And that's the conflict. I mean, obviously, when we had this tradition, we haven't thought of this. Maybe these little kids have rice. I mean, a few years, thousands of years ago.
Right.
We don't necessarily respect the little kids' right to have property.
They're kids.
Yeah, they're kids. Yeah.
Indeed.
So, and what's interesting is, as long as you have a way to sort out this problem, to sort out, for instance, Liu Ming has a way to persuade her son to sort of let go or entrust the right to manage that property to Liu Ming. And as long as the family's okay, as long as no conflict in this, and we don't have a problem.
Right.
A lot of the cases that we see in public this year, like young kids suing the grandma or college students suing the divorced parents, is like they already have a problem in the family running.
Yeah.
Like divorce, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, and those kind of family will have some problem other than Yasui Qian anyway.
I think looking at this, the controversy is exactly what you said, those aspects, as well as, like, you know, there's more money on, like, available in families these days. It's like, I would compare this exactly. At the end of the day, we're all human beings. So in the U.S., we have Christmas being the most important holiday, but similar things happen, right? this kind of idea of being with family has gotten lost. And now it's about, what did I get? what did I make it out of the holidays with? Rather than, I got to spend time with my grandparents. I only get to see them once a year. But now, you know, people have more money. And when you have more money, you want to maybe give it to the people you love. And this creates kids who have expectations now, right? They're like, hey, I want that new Xbox, Grandma. Come on, fork over the dough. And, you know, the humble roots of what Lai Ming has described in this tradition of basically this was money given, not a lot, but to give you this feeling of, hey, I care about you. I want you to have the luck and good fortune next year. And this is an honest way to show that. You know, like for Christmas, I talked about a Christmas Carol. I think Charles Dickens wrote that.
Yeah.
It's a popular movie. A lot of people watch during Christmas. You have the kid, Tiny Tim, okay? He's Bob Cratchit's son, and I think he passes away in the movie, but he doesn't get any presents. His dad can't afford it. Yet this kid, you see him still so excited about Christmas time because his whole family's there together. This idea of, it's not about what I get, it's about who I get to see. And that is something I think translates across cultures.
Exactly. Mm.
And this is where the controversy's happening, you know? Mm-hmm. Also, the fact that money is kind of like that one ring. The bonds that we forge with so many people we love often can be kind of torn asunder. Mm. Because of our lust for money, right?
Yes, indeed. I think, as I said, this is a classic conflict between tradition and modernity or rice. Yeah. I mean, maybe one way to walk around it was perhaps to limit the amount of money that you give to little kids. I mean, like what happened in my family. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was someone with some deep insight into family affairs.
Yeah.
And he did come up with this rule that he always gave me only 10 yuan every year. Although that the income, family income, had been increasing every year, he insisted on giving me only 10 yuan every year.
Wow. Yeah. Very good education.
Liu Min, quickly, I want to ask you, you know, as a parent, do you have some suggestions for other parents of what they can do?
Of course. I have opened two different bank accounts for my two kids to save the money for them, for their tuition fee and also all kinds of fees, of course.
But you would pay for the tuition fee?
Yeah.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Even without money.
Indeed. But in the future, probably they will go to very good universities overseas. But, you know, I'm
sure they will.
That's good parenting right there. That's love.